That was a perfect song for a celebration of Baptism Day. And I believe that we have already heard from God today, haven't we? So I am actually going to read the New Testament reading. And if you would just advance the slides to the New Testament there. And that is because I asked Todd to just reflect briefly for us this morning on the Old Testament reading, and so he'll do that. So our second scripture reading is from the Gospel of John, and we're kind of jumping around. There's two sections of verses in chapter 18, 15 to 18, 25 to 27. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple who was known to the high priest came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Jumping ahead, meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself, so they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" And he denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, I'm going to be reading from Psalm 51, and I'm adding the entire psalm, so the slide, no need to put the slide up. What I'd like to do and invite you to reflect with me in this reading and just close your eyes, if that's okay for you, or just bow your head and just listen to these words of David. And we're going to dive into them and just explore them together. So join me today as we read Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion. Blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you, and you alone, have I sinned. I have done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say. Your judgment against me is just, for I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me, but you desire honesty from me, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. O God, give me back the joy again. You have broken me, now let me rejoice. Don't keep me looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and I will return to you, O God. Forgive me for the shedding of blood, O God who saves. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. Look with favor on Zion and help her. Rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will be pleased with sacrifices that are offered in the right spirit. With burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings, the bulls will again be sacrificed on your altar. And this is the word of the Lord. Amen. So, as I reflected and continue to reflect on this psalm has an origin story. We all know that Nathan, the prophet, came to David after he had done some horrible things. He was hiding his sin. As we know, he committed adultery, deceived many people. He murdered Bathsheba's husband by sending him to the front line of war. Now, I don't know about you, but as I know the context of this psalm, and as I read it, a part of me almost gets a little hung up there. Like, of course David's pleading with the Lord. Of course he feels guilty. Of course he feels bad. He's been caught by a prophet. David's grieving, there is no doubt. I mean, just even reading this morning, you can see David is desperate. His emotions of grief. If we've ever grieved, which I think if any of we're honest with each other, grief is part of life. Grief is the emotion of life. It's steeped in loss. It's steeped in relational loss, whether it's physical loss, mental loss, the death of loved ones. Grief is the emotion that we all process at some point in life. And David is grieving. David is grieving the loss of what? The joy of his salvation, the presence of the Lord. He is grieving the things or the part of his life that gives him a great sense of joy and purpose and meaning in his life. The very substance of David's life, which is God. He's experiencing the loss of. And that grief is real. That grief is genuine. Grief is, it's the biggest challenge we face in life. That's one reason, I'm not trying to pitch on a grief group, but I'm going to tell you what, grief shared together is you can bring healing to it. You can bring healing to pain and loss. So rather than getting hung up on these questions that I was asking myself that maybe you have asked, you know, why did David do that? Why did David deceive the kingdom? Why did David lie to God? Why did David think that God wouldn't know about these things? Now, as I've read this psalm and meditate on it, I've come to kind of land on that this psalm is not about David's sin. This psalm's not about David. It's interesting, verse 14, David extracts all his grief and loss. He talks about wanting to be restored to joy, wanting God to renew his life. But it doesn't until he gets to verse 14, and this is just, I find this just fascinating, I find this interesting, that verse 14 is when he actually says, God, forgive me for shedding blood. He waits till verse 14 to say, God, forgive me for murder. Now, I don't know about, when I pray, I often start with, Lord, forgive me. Or if I offend somebody or hurt somebody, I often go to them and say, can you just forgive me for blowing it? Can you forgive me for mistreating you? For you forgive me for what I said? Why didn't David start with God, forgive me? And that's when verse one is the doorway, is the entry point that this psalm highlights. This psalm is about God's love. Listen to this. Verse one in the psalm, it says this: "Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love." And because of that unfailing love and your great compassion, blot out my sins. He's asking for forgiveness right at the start, but he's premising it with, because of your unfailing love. Now, I looked at this word. It's a word, forgive me for all of you Hebrew scholars in the room. It's chesed. That's how it's pronounced in a Hebrew format. But the word is actually very complex to translate. There's actually no English equivalent. That's why, we depending on what Bible translation you read or who you listen to, this word, loving kindness, will be translated in this amount of ways. I'm going to read the translations that this word will either be translated loving kindness, steadfast love, mercy, covenant loyalty, faithful love, and kindness. So David starts out this word or this verse with, it's not about me. David realized he can't find forgiveness within himself. He realized that his sin was against God alone. And his brokenness was a reality that his sin had separated him from his Savior, from his God. And that is what broke him. But what led him back to God wasn't, well, it wasn't that bad. It could have been worse. But what led him back to God was, God, have mercy on me because of your loving kindness, your rich, steadfast, eternal love that is steeped in mercy, that is birthed in everlasting love and grace. It's established within a covenant of loyalty and faithfulness that goes beyond my own grasp of comprehension. And it's a kindness that ravages my soul. May it be according to the multitude of your immeasurable tender mercies and grace that you blot out my sin. Once again, as I reflected on this, as I made this about David, I made this about the pain, the grief, the loss. I made it about the emotions that were driving this prayer or this plead for God's presence. But God says to us today, His invitation to us is, my unfailing love is for you. My unfailing, eternal, unfathomable, undefinable, unreachable, unattainable, gracious, all-consuming love is for you. The work, the love has been extended to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, nothing in this life or the life to come can separate us from the love of God. And any time we are called into a space that seems unimaginable, a grief, a loss, a pain, be reminded his unyielding love, his unconditional May his heart, may his love ravage our souls. I love that word. I know it's a little odd, but think about it. I didn't come up with that on my own. I stole that from a translator. So if it's a little hard to swallow, it was for me too. I even considered not putting it in there, but may God's love just consume us. So in our brokenness, in our fears, in our anxieties, let us go to the Lord knowing that his unwavering love meets us. His unfailing love meets us. Let us pray. Gracious and merciful God, because of your unfailing love and your abundant, tender mercies, you restore to us the joy of our salvation. You renew within us a steadfast spirit that's firm and faithful. And through this knowledge of your steadfast love and your unfailing love, you open our lips so that we may praise you with joy. May you purify our hearts and our minds from the grief and losses and the sin we face. Lord, it's because of your unchanging love and countless mercies that you fill us with your Spirit and keep us in your holy presence forever. Thank you, Lord, for your never-ending grace and your never-ending joy that flows from you. Lord, be with us, surround us with your eternal presence, and may we grasp with our spirit and our soul the unfailing love of your Son, Christ. We pray these things and we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior. And everybody said, amen.